Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
In coming up with a topic for this month's newsletter, there really wasn't much of a question. I'm dealing with an issue right now which is not so uncommon when it comes to blended families. I have a business owner who recently passed away, and the business was not properly allocated in his estate plan considering his family circumstances was with a blended family. Both he and his wife are part of a second marriage. He's got a series of kids. She has a series of kids. And although the new husband and wife were madly in love with each other and had a very successful relationship of marriage, the kids weren't so in love with the stepmom and the stepdad. So we kind of have a very difficult situation. And now that the father or stepfather has now passed away and the largest asset is the business, everyone's trying to grab a piece of that business, and it's causing a problem. So I just got done writing this month's newsletter on dealing with estate planning with blended families. But I wanted to kind of share with you some of the other things that we do and some of the solutions that we have and how an estate plan for blended families is very different than estate planning for either single individuals or for individual married couples that have a long-term marriage and same biological kids. So the first thing you have to always worry about is the characterization of the assets. Many times the blended family brought in separate property. He has his separate property before marriage. She has her separate property before marriage, and they've acquired property together as a new marital couple. How do we deal with those assets? Sometimes would require either one complex trust or better off, a multiple of trusts. I call it the his trust, the her trust, and the our trust to make very clear distinctions in how those assets are dealt with. Of course, primarily the assets are held for the surviving spouse's benefit, but what happens to those assets upon the surviving spouse's passing would basically is much clarified by the use of the three trust approach. Another issue is that sometimes, say, I want my surviving spouse to have the use and benefit of the property, to have the income use of the property, but when I pass away, I want that asset to go down to my kids. It's a family asset. It's been in the family for generations. I want it to go down my bloodline. But unbeknownst to them, they took title and joint tenancy. And joint tenancy, whether it's a bank account, whether it's a piece of real estate or business interest, joint tenancy has an inherent right of survivorship. So it doesn't matter what the estate plan documents, and you may have clearly spelled out how the business is to be dealt with in, or the property to be dealt with in the estate plan or your will, but the joint tenancy supersedes all that, and the surviving spouse gets that, and it winds up down his or her bloodline as part of their estate plan. So making sure that we are properly using joint tenancy assets with the planning. Some complex trusts allow for a division of assets. So you have some assets that are highly high income producing assets like real property or a multiplex or an apartment building producing a lot of interest, income. So maybe you want to provide for the income for the surviving spouse for the remainder of their lifetime. But when you, the actual property owner, pass away, and then when the surviving spouse passes away, that asset itself goes down your bloodline. Again, you want the principal, the real estate to go to your kids, but while your surviving spouse is still alive, to let her get access, him or her to get access to the income without the power to cause a liquidation of the building itself. Again, another very important use. Updating life insurance policies and retirement plan beneficiaries, hugely important. Many times you may even still have your former spouse on as a present beneficiary of your life insurance policy or the present beneficiary of your retirement plans. So here, many times some of the largest assets are our real estate assets, our insurance policies, and our retirement assets. So if you don't update the beneficiaries, you may still have your former spouse listed as a beneficiary in your insurance or retirement plan, and when you pass away, they receive the benefits. There's no guarantee that it belongs to your surviving spouse, even though your trust says to my surviving spouse and then to my kids. It doesn't make a difference. Who's ever listed on the insurance policies, they will wind up getting those death benefits. We want to make sure that we have updated beneficiary forms on retirement assets as well as on life insurance policies. Also in powers of attorney, sometimes powers of attorney, very, very broad, very powerful document. Sometimes it's referred to as a license to steal. So if you've listed your new spouse as your agent and you haven't put any limitations on their rights to make gifts to themselves, gifts to their kids, to change the beneficiary forms on retirement assets, to change beneficiaries on retirement assets and life insurance policies, again, that could be a way in which they're able to kind of redirect the assets and then your kids don't get anything as a result of after your passing. How we treat surviving spouses on retirement assets. Do we have a spousal rollover? Do we list the spouse as a beneficiary? It all depends. Maybe the spouse is many years younger than you. How do we treat them for tax purposes and whether you want those funds to be able to roll down to your kids upon the surviving spouse's passing? Marital agreements. I can't tell you how important that would be. All of which I've been talking about so far is all talking about characterization of assets. You want to specify who owns what. And if you didn't have a premarital agreement before you got married into your new marriage, now that the marriage is a little bit more mature, perhaps you can have what's called a postmarital agreement. This simply characterizes the assets after marriage. So we're not trying to figure out who owns what dollar was used for what, forensic accounting, trying to figure out what assets are what. Because of course you can imagine one family member is going to say the property is ours, and one family is going to say the property is mine and my dad's. Therefore, you want to make sure that you have proper characterization so that those characterizations of community assets or separate property assets is clearly delineated and consistent with the estate planning documentation. How to keep some of the kids at bay. Sometimes you have aggressive stepkids that actually don't have a very good relationship at all with their new step parent. So sometimes creating a little bit of a side pot money by the use of insurance, maybe retirement assets or other side liquid funds to provide for them immediately. So they do receive some type of inheritance immediately upon their parents' passing, but the remaining assets can be held for the benefit of the surviving spouse for his or her lifetime, and then the kids can receive upon second passing. Therefore, the kids are not technically disinherited until the younger or healthier spouse has to pass away. So again, giving them a little bit of something can go a long way to kind of easing the tension between stepkids and now surviving step-parents. Let's take a look here. Also, making sure you go through a proper analysis. This is not a type of plan that you would do a do-it-yourself plan or working with an estate planner who's not familiar with the type of blended family issues, because you take an estate plan off the shelf and try to do the assets and account for each of the kids individually and surviving spouses. Many times these issues that we deal with simply aren't discussed, they aren't thought about, they aren't written out into the plan itself. So you want to make sure that you're working with a very experienced estate planning attorney. And lastly, I'll point out is the use of proper co-trustees. So you've heard me on previous blogs speak about the importance of trustees, and here with surviving spouses, it's no exception. Ordinarily, when we're talking about successor trustees, we're typically talking about it for the benefit of the children and not so much for the spouse or the surviving spouse. But when it comes to blended families, if you're taking an asset and you're dividing it in half and putting it into a trust for the benefit of the surviving spouse, well, who's kind of making sure the surviving spouse is being honest with those assets? You know, so sometimes you wouldn't necessarily list the surviving spouse as the sole trustee of their own, of the decedent's half of the assets. You may want to put in a third party to make sure you have some checks and balances over the deceased spouse's stuff. Not the surviving spouse's stuff. It's their stuff. They can do what they want, spend it how they want, revise it how they want. But the deceased spouse's stuff, that you want them to have the income and maybe limited access to the principal because you want to preserve it for your kids. You want to make sure you put somebody on there to kind of help that surviving spouse manage those funds responsibly so they aren't wasted away. And that could be either a family member from the deceased spouse's side. It could be the trust, the attorney, or some other private fiduciary to kind of put some checks and balances to make sure that the surviving spouse is using those funds responsibly. As you can see, I think I may have rattled off here probably a good 10, 11 issues, all of which are really big issues that need to be dealt with individually when it comes to family, blended family estate planning. So if you yourself are involved in a blended family, or if you know somebody that's involved in a blended family and they have done estate planning or they need to do estate planning, please let them know that the issues that we deal with in blended estate planning are not the same type of issues that we deal with traditional relationships, long-term relationships, or even single relationships. So it can get kind of complicated. So make sure you're working with a proper estate planning professional. My name is Brad Barth. I'm a partner here at Barth Calderon, where we plan today for all of your tomorrows. Thanks for your attention. Bye-bye.